ज्ञेयं यत्तत् प्रवक्ष्यामि यज्ञात्वामृतमश्नुते अनादिमत्परं ब्रह्म न सत्तन्नासदुच्यते. I shall now explain the knowable, knowing which you will taste the eternal. Brahman, the spirit, beginningless and subordinate to me, lies beyond the cause and effect of this material world. Text 14. Sarvata panipadam tat, sarvatokshi shiromukham, sarvata shruti malloke sarvamavritya tishtati. Everywhere are his hands and legs, his eyes, heads and faces, and he has ears everywhere. In this way, the super soul exists, pervading everything. Purport. As the sun exists, diffusing its unlimited rays, so does the super soul, or supreme personality of Godhead. He exists in his all-pervading form, and in him exist all the individual living entities, beginning from the first great teacher, Brahma, down to the small ants. There are unlimited heads, legs, hands and eyes, and unlimited living entities. All are existing in and on the super soul. Therefore, the super soul is all-pervading. The individual soul, however, cannot say that he has his hands, legs and eyes everywhere. That is not possible. If he thinks that under ignorance, he is not conscious that his hands and legs are diffused all over, but when he attains to proper knowledge, he will come to that stage, his thinking is contradictory. This means that the individual soul, having become conditioned by material nature, is not supreme. The supreme is different from the individual soul. The Supreme Lord can extend his hand without limit. The individual soul cannot. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that if anyone offers him a flower or a fruit or a little water, he accepts it. If the Lord is far distance away, how can he accept things? This is the omnipotence of the Lord. Even though he is situated in his own abode, far, far away from earth, he can extend his hand to accept what anyone offers. That is his potency. In the Brahma Samhita, it is stated, Goloka eva nivasati akhilatma bhuta. Although he is always engaged in pastimes in his transcendental planet, he is all pervading. The individual soul cannot claim that he is all pervading. Therefore, this verse describes the supreme soul, the personality of Godhead, not the individual soul. Om jnana dimirandasya jnananjana shalakaya. Translation once again. I shall see his eyes, heads and faces, and he has ears everywhere. In this way, the super soul exists, pervading everything. So there is a story of a postmaster who was newly transferred to a particular village or a town. So when he took charge of this particular post office, he found something very interesting. He found that the previous postmaster, who had recently retired and who was in that post office for the past 15 years or so, he was not a responsible man, and he hadn't done his duty of delivering the letters. So this newly appointed postmaster, when he went to this post office, when he was newly transferred to this post office, suddenly he found a heap, huge heap of letters. Letters which had to be delivered 15 years ago. to letters which had to be delivered that day. So 15 years letters had accumulated all together. But he felt that it's my responsibility to deliver the letters even though it is delayed. So then he started delivering letters which were meant to be delivered 15 years ago. And when these letters reached the homes of different people 15 years later, it had totally different implications upon their lives. One family, they had lost their little child in a fair 15 years ago, and they had tried their best to search for their little child, but they couldn't find. They had tried their best and then they had given up hope, and suddenly this letter reaches them from another person from another town saying that we have your child with us. Actually, that letter was supposed to come to them 15 years ago and it has come 15 years later. But nonetheless, the nature of parents is they never give up their attachment for their children. So they go back. They go to that place from where the letter was received. But now to their dismay, the child recognizes them no more. And the child has accepted them as his parents. And he has got a different lifestyle altogether. And these parents, the original parents, they undergo a lot of emotional turmoil. If the letter hadn't arrived, it would be a different story altogether. But now, they understand where their child is. But then the child is refusing to recognize them. It's a totally different thing. So in this way, the story proceeds to say how when the letter which was supposed to be delivered 15 years ago, it reaches its destination 15 years later, what are the implications the letter has? It creates different emotions in different peoples. It creates different emotions in different families. Some people undergo great happiness. Some people undergo great distress. So many emotions erupt, which wouldn't have erupted if the letter was delivered on time. So from this story we understand that how crucial it is for an event to occur on time to have its implications. If the letter had reached on time, the emotions which the people would have undergone would be completely different. But when the letter reached later, the emotions which the people underwent was completely different. If we ponder a little deeply upon this point, we understand that how crucial it is. How crucial is timing in the events that occur in our own lives. Especially the events which change the face of our life. If you think carefully, if the timing of these events was slightly different, we would have experienced completely different emotions, completely different kinds of happiness, completely different kinds of distress. If you see the whole world in this spirit, in this whole world, events are occurring at particular times, in particular sequences. But if the timing of the events is slightly changed, the history of the world would be completely different. We would have a different history altogether. That is when you consider the world as a whole. But if you consider our life in particular, if you consider the events that were milestones in our life, so to speak, if the events had a different timing, we would be having different emotions, different set of happiness, different sets of distress. Take for example the terrorist attacks which occurred a few months ago. Any person who lost his life in that terrorist attack in the VT station, suppose he was obviously there in the VT station to catch a train. If he had decided to catch a different train, or if he had decided to catch the same train one day late, his life would be completely different. Not just his life, the life of his family members would have a different story altogether. His family members would have experienced different sets of emotions. They wouldn't have to undergo so much of distress. Maybe they would experience a lot of happiness. So that particular event of his going to the VT station occurred at that particular point of time, and because that event was so timed, he had to undergo certain emotions, and his destination was something, and the destination and the happiness and distress which his family members had to undergo was different. So if we think in this way, the timings of the events of our life and the timings of events in world history, if they are altered even slightly, our life would have a different story, world history would be different. Even the simple events that occur in our life, suppose say I'm going to go for a program and it's a happy occasion. I'm going for a program where I'm going to experience a lot of happiness. But when I'm going, I meet someone who gives me a news which puts me in distress. Now if I had left for the program at a slightly different time, I didn't have to undergo that distress at all, because I wouldn't have met that person. But that event of me going for that program occurred at that particular point of time, and because it occurred at that particular point of time, I had to undergo that extra coat of distress which I didn't have to experience otherwise. So if we analyze our life in this way, anything, any event that occurs in our life, if the timing is changed, we will experience different sets of happiness and distress. Now the question is, who is timing these events? Who is timing these events with such synchrony and with such coordination? My own example, for example, after I finished my 12th standard examination, I was going to give an entrance test. And when I had gone to give that entrance test, just casually, I was walking through a particular path, and it so happened that at the same time I met another person. And we had a conversation, and he motivated me to drop a year, to work harder, to get through a more tougher entrance examination, which promised a good career for me. And because I met him at that particular point of time, I decided to drop a year after my 12th. And because I dropped 1 year, I met the devotees of the Lord who gave me a book of Srila Prabhupada, and I read that book and decided to become a devotee of Krishna. Now if I hadn't met that person at that particular point of time, I wouldn't have dropped 1 year, and if I had not dropped that year, I wouldn't have met devotees of Krishna, and maybe I wouldn't have decided to become a devotee myself. Now, how did it happen that at the same time when I was walking through that road, that person also happened to walk through the same road? Did it just happen by chance? Or was it timed by someone? Atheism is the understanding that all the events that is occurring in our lives and all the events that is occurring in the world, right from the creation to the destruction, it is happening by random chance. That is atheism. But theism means the understanding that all the events that happens in our life and all the events that has occurred from the creation and all the events that will occur till destruction are being perfectly timed by a person. For example, we see the atheist version of how the creation took place. The event of how the first unicellular organism was created. The atheistic scientists, they propagate theory of chance of how that event could have occurred, even though the probability of that event is extremely low. Even for the most basic protein molecule, which is the building block of life, for that to be created, the amino acids, which are the constituents of a protein molecule, they have to come together at the same time. Perfect timing is required even for a single protein molecule to be formed, which is the building block of life. And for all those protein molecules to come together to form a single cell, all of them have to come together and should be combined with perfect timing. So even if we accept the version of creation which is proposed by the atheistic scientists, the question is, who timed these events? Any scientific laboratory, the scientist is very particular to plan out his experiment. At what time he is going to perform what experiment? Which step of the experiment he is going to perform at what time? The world is about timing. In every aspect of life, there is timing. In a scientist's laboratory, there is precise timing of what steps of the experiments have to take place at what time. In an industry, precise, so much of effort goes behind planning how the events have to be timed. What time of the year, what products are to be produced, what time of the year we have to try to sell these products. There is perfect timing involved in an industry, perfect timing involved in a scientific laboratory, perfect timing involved in any bank. You have to open the bank on time, close the bank on time, and the entire management of every industry, of every institute, of every banking is all about how to time the events perfectly. And the profession of almost everybody is, in whatever profession they might be in, that profession will involve some aspect of timing events. Unless intelligence goes behind planning the sequence of events, unless intelligence goes behind timing the events, the world would be chaotic. But the atheist scientists go to say that the entire creation, with all its diversity, it is taking place without perfect planning of the timing of the different events. It is actually ridiculous. So a devotee of the Lord understands that right from creation to destruction, the sequence of every event is planned. And in our own life, whatever events that take place are perfectly timed by a person. And because he understands this, he has got a different attitude towards life. Parikshit Maharaj, for example, one day he was hunting in the forest. And while hunting in the forest, he felt very, very thirsty. And he looked for water everywhere. And he couldn't find any water. And within the forest, he found a hut. He entered the hut. And when he entered the hut, he saw the sage Shamika sitting in meditation, in rapt meditation. And Parikshit Maharaj, Sri Shraddha Gopinath Bhagavan ki jai, Parikshit Maharaj asked Shamika for some water. And because the sage Shamika was absorbed in meditation, he couldn't respond to Parikshit Maharaj. And so he remained silent. And Parikshit Maharaj was desperate for water. So he pressed forward and he told aloud to Shamika Rishi, "Please, I want a glass of water." But there was no response. And because Parikshit Maharaj was feeling so thirsty and he was so desperate for water, he became very angry when there was no response. And he found a dead snake on the floor. He took that dead snake and wrapped it around the neck of Shamika Rishi. And as he was riding back to his palace, he regretted. "Oh, what a mistake I made." The sage must have been in trance, and that is why he was not able to answer to my plea. But now it was too late. And when he reaches the palace, suddenly he hears the news that the son of Shamika Rishi had cursed him to die within 7 days. Now what a traumatic incident in Parikshit Maharaj's life. Now if Parikshit Maharaj had reached the hut of Shamika Rishi a few minutes ago, or maybe an hour ago, Shamika Rishi might not have been in trance. And if he weren't in trance, then he would have given Parikshit Maharaj water. And maybe if Parikshit Maharaj had reached the hut of Shamika Rishi 1 hour late, or maybe a few minutes late, maybe Shamika Rishi would be out of his trance. And he would be able to provide Parikshit Maharaj with water. Now how did it happen that when Parikshit Maharaj entered the hut of Shamika Rishi at that particular point of time, Shamika Rishi was in trance? Now Parikshit Maharaj, he could have blamed destiny, or he could have thought in terms of why. Why this event of me entering Shamika Rishi's ashram had to occur at that particular point of time. If only I had reached Shamik Rishi's ashram a little earlier or a little late, maybe I could have escaped this destiny. That is a common psychology of most people of this world. Whenever something wrong occurs in our life, we start wondering, why this thing had to happen? Suppose we meet with an accident on the road, and after the accident we wonder, if only I had not decided to be on the road at that particular point of time, I could be saved from this calamity. Or some people who lost their limbs in some train bomb blast that took place in Bombay a few years ago. The thought might have crossed their minds that if only I had missed that train, if only I had caught the next train, my limb would be saved. I didn't have to undergo so much of distress. If only the events that occurred in my life had a different timing, life would be different altogether. It's a fact. Life would be different altogether if the events had a different timings. But it's also a fact that the events are perfectly timed. And a devotee like Parikshit Maharaj, he understood that this event has occurred at that particular point of time, and that has been orchestrated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now, what should I do? He had the right approach to life. Otherwise, he would have lamented. He would have blamed destiny, and the course of his life would be different. And because he had the right understanding, what happened was, he took the right decision of going on the bank of the Ganges and hearing from the sages what is to be done at this critical hour of life. What should I do now so that I will have a good destination? So this is the difference between theism and atheism. Atheism means we don't acknowledge that the events that occurs in our life and the events that occurs in the world are perfectly timed by a person. But theism means we acknowledge that every event that occurs in the world and every event that occurs in our own life is perfectly timed. There is no place for the chance theory in the life of a devotee. And because there is no place for chance theory in the life of a devotee, he is in a position to take the right decisions in life, and he can orchestrate his life in such a way that he can ultimately go back to the spiritual world. Even in sports, we speak about perfect timing. And batsmen, they give so much emphasis on timing a shot. Because if the event of the bat colliding with the ball, that event, if it occurs at a slightly different time, the ball will have a different destination. The ball will either hit the stumps, or it will go somewhere close by, or it might cross the boundary. Depending upon the time, the timing at which the bat hits the ball. And the batsman is a person who undergoes so much of training in order to perfectly time that event of a shot. So even as simple things like sports takes into consideration the importance of the timing of an event, and it acknowledges that there is a person behind timing an event, what to speak of the entire creation and what to speak of our life, of our own life. So in the life of a devotee, he understands there is no place for chance theory. Every event in my life is being perfectly timed by the Supreme Lord. And he's timing these events in a particular sequence for a particular cause. And what is that cause? Ultimately, to help me come closer to his lotus feet. And so, whatever happens in the life of a devotee, he considers and analyzes that event in these terms. How this event is being timed by the Supreme Lord for my benefit. That's how a devotee thinks whenever an event occurs in his life. It's like anything that happens in terms of terrorism in India, right from Jammu and Kashmir to Kanyakumari, wherever there is terrorism, the Indian government sees the hand of Pakistan. Whatever be the nature of terrorism, the hand of Pakistan is always seen, the invisible hand of Pakistan. And great research is done in order to understand, is it really the cause? Whenever there is an incident of terrorism anywhere in India, the Indian government can simply deal with the terrorist attack on a superficial level and try to catch the culprits and try to punish the culprits and finish it at that. But no, they deliberately try to see the root cause behind the event and the hand of a particular nation in particular. Similarly, when something happens in the life of a devotee of Krishna, anything that occurs in his life, he doesn't treat that event on a superficial level. When that event occurs in his life, he deliberately tries to investigate the hand of Krishna behind it. He tries to investigate a blue hand which is orchestrating that event in his life. That's his thought process. And when that is his thought process, he knows exactly how to react positively to that event in a constructive way. Otherwise, without understanding the root cause behind the different events that occur in our life, unless we are conscious that the events are timed by someone, we might get bewildered, we might get confused, we might go into depression, and so many other consequences. But a student of Bhagavad Gita, he understands that nothing occurs in this world by chance. Every event in the entire creation and every event in everyone's life is perfectly timed. And who is the person who is timing these events? Who is the cause of all causes? The Gita gives a proper understanding. And the Gita gives also the proper understanding of how to react to these events, taking into consideration the person who has caused these events to occur. I was giving this example a few weeks ago also, that there was a television serial many years ago. And it showed the story that there was a mechanic. And this mechanic was jobless. And he didn't know what to do with his life. So once it so happened that he was walking through a lonely street. And as he was walking through a lonely street, suddenly a car sped past him. And it went ahead for some time and then came to a screeching halt. Out of the car came a driver. And he looked down and found that his tire was punctured. So this driver looked here and there, and this mechanic was the only person on the street visible. So the driver asked the mechanic, "Can you help me? My car has a puncture right now." And the mechanic was more than glad to help the driver and immediately repaired the tire. And the car went away. But as the car went away, the mechanic had a brilliant idea. He had no source of income, he had no money. Now he had a brilliant idea. He bought some nails and put it on the road. And he hid behind a tree on the side of the road. The next car came. It passed by him and again came to a screeching halt. Again, the tire was punctured. This time the tire was punctured because of the nails put by the mechanic himself. And the mechanic, as the car came to a halt, he came out of his hiding and started walking on the road. Again, the driver looked here and there, saw the only person on the road, who was the mechanic, and asked him, "Can you help me?" And the mechanic said, "Yes, of course I can." And he repaired the tire, got the money, and then again he put more nails on the road. Again he hid behind the tree. Another car came. It was again punctured. Again the mechanic went ahead, repaired the tire, got more money. In this way, the mechanic found this as a way of living. Now, if we put ourselves in the shoes of one of these drivers who was passing by that lonely road, from our point of view, we are passing through this lonely road and we are going for an important engagement, and suddenly the car has a puncture, and we get out of the car and we look around and we find a person, and that person happens to be an automobile mechanic. What good luck! How it so happened that I was so fortunate that the mechanic was there when my tire had a puncture. What great fortune, what good luck. How wonderful things happened. That was the mentality of every driver who passed through that road. But behind the scene, what was happening? It was all well coordinated, well planned, with a cause. The cause in this case was a little extra money in the mechanic's pocket. Similarly, an event occurs in our life. A sequence of event occurs in our life, and we might be wondering, these were coincidental events. Little are we aware that all these events are well coordinated and well planned by a supreme plan maker, that is a supreme lord. And just like the mechanic had a particular cause, the supreme lord has a particular cause behind orchestrating the events that occurs in this world in a particular sequence. And if only we can understand that plan, our life will be completely different. If the driver understands that the entire event was well planned, his reaction when he came out of that car would be completely different. He would be angry with the mechanic maybe. Why did he put the nails on the street and cause the tire to be punctured? And because he was not aware of that, his reaction was completely different. So if only we understand, if only we become aware that what we call as coincidental events, or what we call as luck, or what we call as good fortune or misfortune that occurs in our lives, in the life of others, or in the world, if only we understand that there is a supreme plan, there is a supreme plan in action of a supreme being, that is God, then our life will be completely different. Our life will take a different turn. The way we react to situations, the way we react to events will be completely different, because now we know the plan of the Lord also. So Bhagavad Gita is a book which makes us understand the plan of the Lord. Now when the battle of Kurukshetra was about to begin, Arjuna, he suddenly tells Krishna that take the chariot in between the two armies. And Krishna takes Arjuna's chariot right in front of Bhishma and Drona. That is a perfect planning of the Supreme Lord. Right in front of Bhishma and Drona. Now from Arjuna's perspective, it was a chance event. That it so happened that the chariot came in front of Bhishma and Drona, and because he saw Bhishma and Drona in particular, he underwent a crisis, emotional crisis, and he felt that how can I fight with my relatives? How can I fight with my guru? He lost his composure. He turned to Krishna and the Gita was spoken. But from Krishna's point of view, it was a deliberate plan of the Lord to take Arjuna right in front of Bhishma and Drona, so that he will lose his composure, so that the Bhagavad Gita can be spoken. So even the plot of the Bhagavad Gita is a plan of the Lord, and the Bhagavad Gita itself explains the overall plan of the Lord in the entire creation. And when we understand the beauty behind the plan of the Lord, how the Lord is ultimately planning and orchestrating events and timing events in our life and in this world with the ultimate purpose of helping us attain ultimate happiness. When we understand that, we actually develop love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is the goal of life also. So it is very important that we understand the Bhagavad Gita thoroughly, so that the attitude we develop towards how we take decisions in life will be altogether different. Because if we don't have the knowledge of the plan of the Lord, then when so many things happen in our life, the decisions that we take, the subsequent decisions that we take, will be completely different. So the Bhagavad Gita, it can play a very crucial role in our life, because it reveals the plan of the Lord and gives us an understanding that no event happens by chance, and every event that happens in our life is perfectly timed. Thank you very much. Any questions? श्रीमद्भगवद्गीता की जय. श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय.